loyalty to our values, and safety to them. Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In today's reading, we have two separate unrelated stories. First lesson in the gospel. But what they have in common is an encounter with the living God. Let's begin with the first reading, the story of Elijah. You have to understand what Elijah's situation was when he went into the cave and spent the night. He was a prophet of Yahweh, the living God. And because he was, he had gotten into trouble with the queen of Israel, who did not believe in the God of Israel, but believed in a Canaanite God called Baal. So she was furious at his prophetic activity. She sent out her troops to find him wherever he was and kill him. And so he is running for his life. He goes to the southernmost part of Israel, Beersheba. And then he goes into the desert. And he walks for 40 days and 40 nights, symbolic of work for a long time. And he finally comes to the mountain which was called the Mountain of God, Mount Sinai, called here Mount Horeb, but the same mountain. This was a place where centuries before Moses had encountered the living God and had received the Ten Commandments. There's a story about Moses where he asked God, please show me your glory. And God says it would be too much for you. It would destroy you if you could see my glory. But I will put you here in a cleft in the rock, which might be understood as a kind of little cave. I'll hide you there in the rock and protect you while I go to pass with all my glory. And so Elijah has come to the same holy place, even to a cave, which might have been the same cave. And he's there because he's at his wit's end. God says to him, because God speaks to his prophet, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he tells his whole story. In fact, he tells it twice. But God then gives him a precious experience. There's a tremendous storm, breaking rocks, but God is not in the storm. There's a tremendous earthquake, shaking the foundations of the mountains, but God is not in the earthquake. Finally, there is fire from heaven, but God is not in the fire. And finally, the text says, there was a sound of sheer silence. A sound of sheer silence. And at this, Elijah covers his face with his hand. He goes out from the cave in the presence of God. In the gospel, we have a very different story, but it's also an encounter with the living God. Jesus, the day before this event, had fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes, and had ministered to the great crowd which was gathered there. When all that is over, he sends his disciples off in a boat to go back to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And he stays behind. This is interesting. In all the other stories about Jesus and boats, he's always in the boat with them. But here, he sends them off alone to face danger. He stays on the land, goes up to a hilltop, and spends the night in prayer. We're not used to thinking of Jesus praying. he comes to his disciples in the middle of the lake, walking on water. Now, we're so familiar with the story, it's become a cliche, walk on water. But I think it helps to understand what water sometimes symbolized for the ancient Israelites. They were not a seafaring folk. They were afraid of the ocean, the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and even the lake itself, the small lake, was a foretaste of the sea. Why were they afraid? It seems that the unleashed power of nature is sometimes experienced very profoundly when you're in a boat, when you're far from land, and when the water is coming into the boat, you're bailing like mad. You feel, you might say, the chaos of nature. Nature can be tremendously destructive. And so, to walk on water is possible only for God. God is the one who conquers the chaos and brings order out of the void. So with that in mind, then Jesus is seen walking on the water, which only God can do. They think at first that it's a ghost, but then Jesus says, take heart, don't be afraid, it's me, he would say, it's God. I am here with you. This is a very important moment of truth, but they're hesitant. They don't know whether to trust this apparition or not. So Peter says, if it's really you, then tell me to walk. Tell me to get out of the boat and walk towards you on the sea. Jesus says, come. Come. And at first it goes well. He is actually walking on the water, seemingly. But then he feels the power of the wind and the waves crashing against the boat. And he begins to sink. He becomes self-conscious. The reason he had the courage to step out of the boat is because his gaze was fixed upon Jesus. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the one whom they called the Son of God, the Lord. And so he gets into trouble when he no longer is really looking at Jesus, but he's looking down at his own feet, sinking into the water. Jesus then takes him by the hand and pulls him up, and he says, well, you a little faith, why did you doubt? Now, a way that I find that I can relate to these two stories is this. There are times in my life, and I'm guessing this is true for other people as well, when things are not going well. Maybe a health problem, maybe the end of a relationship, or maybe they have lost one's job. Or sometimes it's just a deep down sadness, not being sure that life is worth living. We call this depression. Granted that we feel this at times, what we're invited to do, it seems to be, is to open ourselves to the living God, to pray, to ask for truth, to ask for courage, to ask for hope. And if we doubt that God is there, it's all the more important that we make this step and take this step of reaching out to the one who loves us, to the one who says, don't be afraid, no need to be afraid, I am with you, it is I, the Lord. this makes any sense to you, as some of us have been, and today's readings, some of them,